One of the best compliments I'd ever received from someone is they said, Cliff, every time you're always innovating. You're always trying something different. And I think what happens to a lot of people is they become very stale because they get into a rut and they say, this is my lane and this is what I'm doing. Now, there's a difference between staying in your lane and chasing the shiny object. But I think that you have to be able to explore new things in order to stay relevant. If I don't stay relevant, there's going to be some young guy coming behind me and is going to chop me off at the legs.
MilitaryCreatorCon.com.
Great to execute. Roger.
So I'm really excited today to be joined by Click Quick Sell. Talking all things kind of Military Creator Con coming up, but also, you know, why we've been lucky enough to have Cliff come and speak a little bit at our conference. So I definitely want to kind of dig into a little bit of your background in the few minutes that we're going to talk about this, but also, you know, I know you have other people, your son's in the military, et cetera. So I want to kind of talk about that a minute, but welcome to the podcast today. So tell us a little bit about, I know you work a lot in the marketing space to some degree. You have quite a bit of background with products and marketing. Can you tell us, I'm always interested to know, you know, kind of how someone came to do what they do. So could you tell me a little bit about that part to start out with?
Yeah, sure, James. I was working for Anheuser-Busch and I met this gal and we hit it off and we started dating and her father hated me. But nonetheless, I worked there for 3 years or so and it was in the promotional product space. And I just fell in love with the whole innovation and creativity behind it. Although the industry as a whole right now really does lend itself more to product-based focus. But I kind of changed the paradigm in that and for my own self and for others that I've worked with and spoken with. But after about 3 years, I owned a martial arts school and she was one of my students. And she came to me one day and she goes, I can't do this anymore. And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, and you're fired. So they let me go because her new boyfriend didn't want me around, which was cool. And then I started my own business doing this exact same thing. I starved. Believe me when I tell you, I nearly went bankrupt 5 times in about 6 years. I could tell you every bar and restaurant in the area, what they were having for happy hour and where you could get free hors d'oeuvres and not, because that's how I survived for about 9 months. And so I did that for a while. And then, like I mentioned, I changed the dynamic of utilizing promo products to a whole new level. You know, building creative marketing campaigns, utilizing print packaging, promotional merchandise, developing creative themes around it, where we would see anywhere between 60 and 90% response rates to our marketing. About 5 years after being in the industry full time, I had somebody come to me and say, would you be willing to speak on this topic and talk to some of the other people about it? And I said, yeah, I'm happy to do it. So there's where my speaking career took off about 40 years ago. Yeah, about 40 years ago. And I've been doing it ever since and just loving it.
No, and I love that. Of course, we've only really gotten to know each other maybe a little bit in the last week or two. So I definitely, you know, before today was looking at some of your speaking videos. And what hit me right away was, you know, your energy. You have good energy. You were talking, one of the ones I watched, you were talking about this child, 7-year-old that was going to be a pilot or wanting to be a pilot when he grew up and kind of told that whole story. But, you know, just your energy and your passion behind, you know, not just doing what we do, but, you know, throwing your creative ideas and things like that behind it and kind of being in congruent in what your messaging is. So that's kind of what caught my attention about, you're obviously a good speaker, but especially with 40 years of experience, you know, I think, you know, that's what we want to kind of have at this conference is people with so many different angles and experience levels. So I really, could you talk kind of a little bit about why you're excited? I know you've helped a lot of people. What excites you about that in the past and kind of where we're at right now with some of that?
Well, when I was approached by a partner of mine in another business named Ron Friedman, and he suggested strongly that I look at this. He said, you know, I know that you come from a military family, and I know that military is very important to you. You're a big proponent of supporting the military. And then when I dove into it a little bit, I thought, yeah, this would be something cool for me to give back a little bit, you know. Other than me making squadron patches for my son or doing T-shirts for when they go on debt, the whole idea is I love the whole idea about giving back, number one. Number two, I just thrive on creativity. I just absolutely, it's just something about it that just, I'm just blown away by some of the stuff that I see from some people. And I don't want to sound trite, but it just mesmerizes me sometime at the level of innovation and creativity when people allow themselves the opportunity to fail and the opportunity to just explore that part of their being. And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, are really, what's the word I'm looking for? They suppress that. Because I think for the fear of failure, and the mere fact that you can see people that when all of a sudden something clicks and it works, just the excitement on their face is just, it's thrilling for me.
Where where does that come from? Some of that, do you have, like, I don't want to say an aha moment, but what's a time where you really, or have you just been kind of always curious when you were younger? Where does your creative kind of juices or creative, not just ideas, but like motivation, like where does that come from for you?
You know, much to the chagrin of my parents, it would be, you know, I was the type of kid that would be in the back seat going, are we there yet? What's that? What color is that? Why are we doing that? I was very inquisitive as a child. I can remember my wife, we went into a frame shop. She walked in ahead of me, and I walk in and I was mesmerized by the way this guy was cutting mats for pictures. I know it sounds silly, but I just watched him, and I was asking him questions and saying. And I remember my wife told me later that the clerk asked her, "That guy asks a lot of questions," and she says, "And I know when he leaves here, he's going to know how to cut mats too. I promise you." So, and in fact, I went out and bought the equipment because I was just so thrilled. But I just have always been inquisitive. And this is going to date me a little bit, but I love the show MacGyver, right? How he's always, you know, takes a toothpick and catches a whale, you know, things like that. And I'm always fascinated by things that you can do if you just set your mind to it. So I guess just my nature back when I was younger, about just being inquisitive has never left me.
No, I love that. And I think that leads into really what we want to foster at our conference. We want to, maybe it sounds cliche to say safe space, but, you know, there's sometimes it can be siloed or isolated in the military space, really kind of sometimes anyway. You know, if people used to be in a group of people in the past and are kind of trying to figure it out and navigate post a career or post something else in their past, you know, we want to really bring them around other people that, hey, they're not alone. And, you know, really, as we like to say, do more creative shit together to some degree. Absolutely. But also, I think it's interesting you mentioned the MacGyver thing, because I know I did 20 years in basically communications or tech, kind of a tech job in the Air Force. But, you know, you sort of joke, but you kind of have to MacGyver things. You don't always have the right cable or the right way to do something. But you don't have the opportunity in a war environment to be like, sorry, I know we need to do this, but, like, you know, and I know it's like 3 weeks before we can get a part in, so we're going to have to wait 3 weeks to do X, Y, or Z, right? So, but in an interesting way for me, I guess I now look back and I realize I was more creative than I thought growing up, but even after doing all the things I did kind of growing up and in the military, I still relatively recently kind of realized I was more creative than I realized. Just, it's just what, you know, maybe what I thought of as, you know, I can't really color very well or draw a picture very well, so I must not be creative. That was probably my thought process kind of, you know, when I was younger. So I actually love what you said and kind of where some of that came for you. And I know other things, you know, we talked about you're in the marketing space, and I think it's really important for, or kind of product marketing space for creative ways of getting the message out better to people. Or, you know, I know in some of your talks you talked about you don't want to be just known for certain things when it came to promotional products maybe that people gave out. So, and as I kind of researched you, and you have different, you know, you have 50 awards for creative marketing campaigns, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of other things you kind of challenge the status quo, and that's kind of a mantra of yours. So if someone's listening and they're kind of maybe going to come to this and listen to what you're saying, you know, what is some of your, like, what are you doing right now that, or, you know, what's got you excited about the possibilities of when it comes to being creative, you know, whether it comes to maybe what they're doing and what you're currently doing?
Yeah, that's a great question, James. I guess one of the best compliments I'd ever received from someone is they said, Cliff, every time you're always innovating. You're always trying something different. And I think what happens to a lot of people is they become very stale because they get into a rut and they say, this is my lane and this is what I'm doing. Now, there's a difference between staying in your lane and chasing the shiny object. But I think that you have to be able to explore new things in order to stay relevant. For instance, I mentioned Ron Friedman, a really good friend of mine. He and I have been talking and collaborating now for 2 years, right? So we built out a program called Merch Pilot. He's the engineer guy behind that. But for me, the thing is, in the promo space, people don't use digital marketing, very rarely. But now all of a sudden I can see I'm creating content constantly. I have an education platform that I'm building right now that's going to have 1,000 education sessions that are all audio recorded. And the technology that's out there, if I don't stay relevant, there's going to be some young guy coming behind me and is going to chop me off at the legs. So I want people to look at me and say, God, this guy's every time I turn around, he's doing something unique and different. Still in my lane, right? But I'm always exploring. Now, that doesn't mean I don't fail, because I do. But for me, I think that it's important for people to understand that, accept that failure is okay. You know, there's a great quote by a guy named Sir Ken Robinson. God rest his soul. He just passed about 2 years ago. I don't know if you ever heard him, but he is a British guy. And if you get a chance to look at him on YouTube, he's great. He goes, the problem with most people is that they don't... what is that quote he has? Something about, it's not that they aim too high and they miss. It's that they aim too low and they hit. And that we get comfortable with doing the stuff where we can, and in my consulting practice, I hear this all the time. Well, I'm going to do this. Why? Because you're going to hit the mark? Why don't you raise the bar a little bit? And guess what? Nobody's going to chop your hand off if you don't hit it. If you've done everything that you say you're going to do to achieve that and you miss it, guess what? You're probably much further ahead than you would have been if you got comfortable. You know, Jesse Itzler, another big guy that I follow all the time, he says, you got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I think that if I said anything to anyone, that would be one of the things that I think is really important. Just get comfortable with trying new things. And I think you'll be amazed at what happens.
No, I love that. And that's so powerful. And I actually was fortunate. I went to Jesse Itzler a few years back, had a program, you know, and kind of gave us a lot of his time and weekly calls and things like that. And so I definitely, you know, kind of the whole concept of there's no finish line. And, you know, he talks, I know, a lot about time being, you know, I think one of his early mentors who was quite older than him, you know, said, even though you don't realize it, the thing you have that I would give everything back for is you have more time than I have, you know, to do these things. So, you know, to kind of really, really use the time. And I think, you know, I love how, at least for me, and maybe I don't think it the right way, but for failure, you know, I don't really believe that as a concept, because I don't think you really fail. It's really kind of your rules. You get to make up the rules if you want. Like, you know, what measurement are you saying you failed? And to me, you only really fail if you just stop and if you don't do it anymore.
That's probably good. So maybe I should reframe that and say, if you don't achieve the goal that you were said you were set out to do, as long as you've done everything to get there, because there's certain circumstances that you can't control, right? Certain you can't control. So, absolutely. Yeah, I'm very happy that you got to speak with Jesse. I spoke with him on the same platform at a conference, and I was absolutely blown away by his book, Living with a Seal. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to read it. Oh, that is probably one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, it was great. But also what intrigued me about Jesse, so I saw him speak in I think around 2018 at a conference called Thrive in Las Vegas, and I guess it was that whole no finish line concept that he talks about, because I was like, here's a guy who's had all these successes, but he wasn't comfortable, you know, because I was, I guess in my mind, I was trying to wonder why certain people, you know, do great things, let's say an Elon Musk, but they don't be like, okay, I've done some phenomenal things. I have as much money as I can ever have. You know, I'm going to just do nothing for a while. You know, why someone like Jesse Itzler would have all the success he has, be, you know, married to to Sarah Blakely, who mm-hmm. is a billionaire as well. I'm like, what drives a person like this to see a Navy SEAL and have him at his house and do all these things? Like, it's good to not just motivation, but he talks, you know, really about, you know, a lot of concepts that really, really, you know, kind of keep me motivated, not just motivated, but, you know, kind of to really make a big difference. I think the military space maybe is a big part of that too, is just to, cause this whole kind of retirement concept, or, you know, I'm going to do it for a while and then, you know, get to a certain point and then that'll be kind of my end point. Like, you know, I am still maybe younger, so maybe it's part of that too, but I guess that's what really resonated with me with what Jesse talks about.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Yep.
So tell me, you have, we talked a little bit, hit on it earlier, you have quite a few people in your military, I'm sorry, in your family that were in the military. Could you kind of talk about some of the people and what they do that are close to you?
Sure. I have, my dad is a one of 13. And three girls, and I guess that would be nine boys. So he had eight brothers. My dad was in the Navy. All of his brothers were in the Navy except for one. His one brother was a paratrooper. And my understanding is that he actually jumped the first wave at Normandy. And so all my cousins were either in the Marines, Navy. I have one that was a retired major in the Air Force. But everybody, and now my son, God love him, he was an MH-60 pilot, and now he's a flight instructor down in Corpus. So and all those people in the military, and I wasn't. So at some level, I feel a little bit bad that I didn't do it. But now I have a passion for people in the military, the kind of stuff that they go through sometimes when they're not appreciated, and just the crazy stuff that's going on in our world right now, and that people have no concept of the sacrifice that these people make. You know, I mean, I know my son, he's making what he makes in the military. He said, Dad, I could be making eight times this right now, flying commercial. He goes, but I made a commitment, and I'm going to stay in. So it's that kind of thing, the commitment, the passion for what you do and things like that, just really, that thrill me. And so I'm very proud of my family. I'm very proud of everything that they've done, the service that they gave to our country. And like your audience, that you and your wife and your audience that you're going to have there at the military con, I'm delighted to be there to be able to give back a little bit.
No, thank you so much, Cliff. I look forward to getting to know you better as well. I appreciate that you're willing to come in and give us some of your time. I know in a good way, we have a lot of speakers, you included, that could speak for hours and speaking whole sessions and days at other conferences. So we're really excited to be able to learn from you. I know I speak for me for sure. I'm looking forward to that. So I want to give you a chance at the end. If someone's kind of wanting to know more about you, what's the best way for them to reach out or see what you're up to?
They can certainly go to my website. It's Quicksell Speaks, all one word. And by the way, that is my last name. That wasn't fake or made up. But quicksellspeaks.com. And I'm also on social media, LinkedIn. So you can, and I think I'm the only Cliff Quicksell in there. So you don't have to worry about navigating those waters.
Which is awesome. I think it's interesting with a lot of times on LinkedIn, because of the algorithm, I'll have them look my name up, because there's definitely not very many James Van Parooyans on social media or LinkedIn. But yeah, so I guess we have unique names like that.
How about it?
But yeah, thank you again. Appreciate your time today, and really, you know, look forward to having you be a part and learning with and from you there.
Okay, at Military Critic. And thanks a lot for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
MilitaryCreatorCon.com.
Great XQ. Roger.